Hello everyone, this is Tanya from 12 Element Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our guest on Mind the Gap podcast. I am here to discuss real life issues that we all face or can relate to from our experiences of being blissful on the mat and the realities of the world off the yoga mat. As students, teachers, or professionals working in the health and wellness sector, we all have a unique journey and experience to share. From gym owners to face yoga experts, we discuss it all. Each episode will give you a guest with a unique story to inspire and uplift you on your journey into health and wellness. Be sure to connect with me at Mind the Gap on Instagram and check out my upcoming retreats and more at 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for listening. Whether you are out running, walking the dog with your feet up after a long day, or cooking a slap-up meal for your family, I appreciate you for listening to Mind the Gap podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to be updated for new episodes bi-weekly. Hello, Jen.
Hi.
Welcome to Mind the Gap. And thank you for inviting us into this little space, but a big space with Mix within itself. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So with everyone, I like to start from the beginning, like everyone's journey. So where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I lived there until I was 10. When I was 10, we moved to Oklahoma. So big change. And then,
huge change.
Yeah, huge change. And then for university, I moved to Texas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Exactly. I just kept traveling south.
South. Yeah, wow. Okay. So did you come from a religious or a spiritual background growing up?
I was definitely born into a religious family. Mm-hmm. So in America is very Christian. My family was Protestant, Protestant. And I think that will always influence me, the way I think about things. And definitely I've evolved, or my ideas on religion have evolved, but I remain very spiritual and I am a Christian. And it has always impacted how I interact with people, why I teach, why I think it's really important to fill the space with joy, good energy. I think that's a huge piece to my values, my morals, and why I do what I do.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And obviously, you are now teaching at Mix, and you're a studio coordinator. You're very highly qualified as a Pilates teacher and a bar teacher. You teach live classes on demand, and you also do one-on-one coaching and group classes. So what led you to this path? Where did it start?
That's such a long path.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's such a long path. I guess we could even say it started, my first dance class was when I was 3 years old.
Yeah, in New York? Is
in
that
New
when
York.
It kind of began in New
Absolutely.
York?
Absolutely,
right?
It started in New York. I was always dancing around, and so my mom put me in creative movement classes. That's how it starts when you're young.
Okay.
Creative movement. And then I moved into modern dance, where I studied like the great American modern dancers, Isadora Duncan, Martha Graham. I just kept dancing. I love dancing. Uh-huh. When I moved to Oklahoma, I continued dancing ballet, danse classique mainly. And when I was about 13, I really decided to pursue it seriously. So that means that means my summers were dedicated to summer intensives of like 3 to 6 weeks of dance.
Oh wow.
Modern dance, ballet.
It was your life.
It was my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really I think movement just always seemed more natural to me, maybe than even talking.
Yeah,
I love moving to music. It's when I was 13, so I started dancing when I was 3. I took my first Pilates class when I was 13.
Pilates at 13? Mm-hmm. Really?
Because Pilates for me started as a way to support my dancing.
Right.
So it was offered as part of my curriculum when I started really studying dance, classical dance. We had weekly Pilates classes, and our warm-ups were Pilates. Oh, so we would do like the, we would do 100, we would do like the whole Pilates mat sequence to warm up before ballet class, which looking back, I was so lucky, because it's only now that I think, people are approaching dance, studying dance with a more, anatomical, I would say awakening.
Right.
Because ballet used to be like, turn it out. Like, you know, it doesn't matter how it feels. Just make it like, make it beautiful. And from a very young age, my teachers were very supportive of like the muscles that are used, to support turnout, protecting your knees, core muscles. That's how you move through space. And so, I mean, I had that from 13.
That's
I'm going to be 33 this year. So that means I've been doing Pilates for 20 years.
Wow.
Which is so cool. I never imagined I would teach it. But here I am. Okay. So, Pilates carried me out through, throughout my dance career.
Wow.
Yeah.
So from the age of 13, you started doing classical dancing, and that's ballet.
Yes, exactly.
And what happened after that?
After that,
continue dancing where you were studying? Because you were studying in Texas, right?
I chose to pursue dance in a university setting. And the school I went to, I wanted to go to a school that offered a bachelor's degree in dance.
Right.
Because I knew I just wanted to dance. That's all I really knew. I mean, I didn't know what my career choices would be after that.
Yeah.
It's a huge decision. So I narrowed down the schools in the country that offered this. And one of the top schools is actually Texas Christian University.
Really?
They offered the first BFA in dance in America.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Texas.
So crazy. In Texas, which is crazy. But I mean, I'm really, you think like, oh, well, that's so weird that it's in Texas. But honestly, to offer this sort of a program, there needs to be money. And the school is a private school. And so patrons of the arts are really strong in America. Arts are supported by donations, public funding. And so my schooling was funded by private donors. I had scholarships. I received scholarships to go to the school. I went through the audition process to get accepted into the school, Texas Christian University. And then every year I had to re-audition and pass castings to continue to receive the scholarships to pay for the school.
So what did you do after the school? Did you go straight into dancing or as a career path?
I continued to pursue dancing. That was my idea. I really love being on stage. My degree, so it was a 4-year degree. It gave me all the tools needed to either like start my own dance company or pursue, positions where you are part of artistic adventures. So maybe you're an artistic director or you're searching for grant opportunities to fund artistic projects. Everything from we had daily dance classes, so it was very physical. We did choreography. We learned lighting design. It was 4 years.
Wow, you learned the whole genre.
It was huge. We had 4 years of anatomy for movement. So actually, in my university setting, that's where I really dove into Pilates even more.
Okay.
We did the basic level mat Pilates and reformer, so that's when I started using machines.
Oh, so that's
machines.
Where you learned reformer machines.
Exactly.
Was that right?
Yeah, so crazy. I started moving on the reformer in 2009.
So what kind of people were doing reformer in 2009? Was it predominantly just dancers?
Yeah, well, at least in my circle.
Yeah.
Again, this was introduced to me as body work for dance. Like really how to find, because dance can really cause asymmetric patterns in your body, overworked muscles, muscle compensation injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
So the reformer and Pilates, it was almost like how to reset your body, how to start over with a basic series of exercises, how to find symmetry, how to mimic dance movements, but with different resistances, with different supports. So my first introduction to Pilates reformer was in between 2009 and 2013. So I guess your original question was, what did I do after college? So I continued to pursue dance, but I started teaching dance in North Carolina as well. And I got into fitness, teaching fitness so randomly. It wasn't my plan because I wanted to be a dancer.
I'm just going to say, like, just to interrupt you, because I started actually because I told you before I live in the countryside, so I have my own, like, space where I practice. And I started doing Tracy Anderson. I've heard of her for so long. But actually, I just started doing her classes online. She does live classes online. And her background is dance. And actually, she does a lot of Pilates. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about the resistance and everything that she incorporates into now her fitness actually has like an old school Pilates, like reformer background implemented into it. So it's really interesting seeing it kind of come to the forefold now, because before, you know, we went through the Jane Fonda of aerobics of just jumping up and down and jumping jacks. And obviously, you know, you can only do that for so long, and your knees, like me, if you've been a runner for so long, your knees are not kind anymore. So I find it really interesting how it's integrated. So then you started teaching, and then you fell into fitness.
Yeah, so I was teaching ballet to children, which was an adventure. I don't know if I
what ages?
I started teaching I started teaching when I was in college, university, like obviously make money and live. Ages 3 to 20.
Oh my gosh, that's such a big range.
But that was also part of my university degree track, was teaching methods, developing your teaching philosophy, learning methods of teaching pedagogy. So again, like, I was like prepared.
What's pedagogy?
Pedagogy is like is teaching methods.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a huge part of the curriculum, because obviously as a dancer, you have to have so many backup plans. It's not like everyone's going to make it as a dancer. And also, you could only dance for so long. So that's why we had classes of teaching and for lighting design, searching for funding in the arts, creating your own website, collaborating with different artists for different projects.
So did you know then when you finished your bachelor's degree, like, what avenue?
I had no idea.
You had no idea.
I was so...
So then you fell into fitness kind of accidentally? Or?
Accidentally, because I moved to North Carolina for...
Well, you moved to really different states, don't you?
I like traveling. I mean, look, I'm here in Brussels now.
Yeah.
I don't feel nervous or scared of going to a new place.
That's awesome.
I went to North Carolina there. I was there only for a year because I had a friend who was a really good friend, and she was like, well, this is a really cool place. There's the American Dance Festival, which is an annual huge festival that invites artists from all over the world. And so I was like, maybe I'll go there. That's where I started teaching.
Uh-huh.
There was a bar fitness studio that had just called Pure Bar that was opening nearby, and they were looking for a front desk person.
Oh.
And so I went and I applied, and they were like, well, you're a professional dancer and you... like, have background in Pilates, why don't you become an instructor? And I was like, no, I'm a dancer. Like, I'm a professional dancer. I'm not teaching fitness, you know? And of course, I took a few classes, and I actually realized how fun it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever taken a bar class, but it's like the energy, there's a movement that goes with every beat of music. Uh-huh. There's just good vibes. The whole thing is just like this big wave of just fitness, burning music, positive energy. And you're like, oh, this is so addictive.
So you get a little buzz on. It's like,
woo! Yeah, and everyone's around you. And like the instructor is so motivating. And they were like, well, if you go through our formation, our training, we'll hire you as a teacher. And I did it. I passed through the training. It was a few months, lots of practicing, lots of learning. It was really cool. And then I started teaching like 22 classes a week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that would happen. So I did not plan it. I just wanted to be a front desk person to make money, to pay my rent so I can continue doing rehearsals and castings and things like that. But that's a huge change in my life, because I realized, I love moving with people, and I actually really like supporting people in movement.
Yeah.
So it was like getting the same high I did when I was on stage. It was even higher. It was even more exciting when I was side by side somebody and working with people who are non-dancers, and helping them through difficult, like, oh, their muscles are shaking, or like, I can't do this. I'm like, yes, you can do this. Like, you know, so I really, I loved teaching. I love teaching.
I wanted to ask you, what is the difference between Pilates and bar?
So barre is definitely inspired by Pilates, like a lot of the ab work, for example, the positions, breathing.
Is that where you actually have like exactly. the bar against the wall and you're performing, it looks like ballet?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Well, it depends what okay. it looks like now. It's like there are so many different barre methods out there, but the original barre method was created in the 50s and 60s by a German dancer named Lotte Burke.
Yeah, Lottie I Burke. Read about that.
Yes,
a long
so
time
she
ago.
Started it because she just wanted to create a series of exercises exclusively created for women, their
right.
bodies connecting to their pelvic floor, and so barre has a huge emphasis on that.
But pelvic now, floor muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And the whole idea was like small movements, lots of like tucking and uh-huh. squeezing your glutes and stuff
yeah.
like that. Now barre has changed a lot depending
yeah,
on
yeah, because I don't feel like it's like that anymore.
Depends. Okay. It totally depends where you go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many, there are hundreds of methods.
Yeah.
There's pure barre, there's Physique 57, there's the barre method. There's so many.
Okay.
There are so many barre methods all over the world. But yes, it's usually with a horizontal barre.
Okay.
You use that for support
mm-hmm.
Or resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of movements that are inspired by ballet.
Yes.
So inspired by danse classique. So the positions, maybe there's a first position or a
yeah.
second position. Your arms sometimes. But the thing that's very specific to barre that is not at all specific to Pilates is that barre maybe will do lots of small movements and
yeah.
high reps. So there's a lot of maybe pulsing in a low
yes.
position to pulse. They work with the isometric hold. So you're doing an
right.
isometric hold and you're pulsing and your muscles are just like holding, whereas Pilates,
I do that, I love that,
yeah,
it burns like hell.
It burns, yeah, it's
but it really
crazy.
Helps
it's like you have this like oh and
yeah.
they start shaking. So Pilates is the opposite. Pilates
right.
works with low repetitions, actually ideally in a Pilates class, unless you're doing hundreds, which is like it's like 100 repetitions with your arms, you're not going to do more than 10 repetitions in a Pilates class of one exercise
right.
because
okay.
it's really quality over quantity.
Right.
So huge difference between teaching Pilates
yeah.
where you'll do maybe 6 repetitions of one exercise
mm-hmm.
and barre where you'll do like 65 pulses like this or like with like weights when you're like lifting your arms
yeah.
small like this. Totally different ways of working out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say one's better than the other. I think just working out in general is just fabulous. So,
I wonder which is more, I guess both of them are complementary. I was just thinking from a yogi aspect, like which is better for yoga, but I think both are because I'm starting to do a lot of weights now. As I said to you before, I'm following Tracy Anderson at home and I'm also following another lady online lifting weights, and both of them actually have a little bit of barre incorporated
yeah,
and also Pilates into their programs as well.
Yeah.
And it really helps with just, I feel like, mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, core.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said before, like, anatomy is really important now. But before we kind of pushed it to the
yeah,
side.
Yeah, before no one talked about it.
Yeah, no one talked about it very much. But now it's really coming back into
uh-huh.
awareness of, like, what we're moving, why we're moving,
mm-hmm.
and how we're moving. And everyone is so different. And your body changes as well. As you know, after you have a baby, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you're 16 and when you're 50, everything is different with your body as you move through life. So, of course, your practice and the way you practice and the way you move also is going to affect that
Absolutely.
As well. Do you incorporate dance movements at all into your classes? Do you get to sneak them in?
It depends what I teach.
Yeah.
Pilates, absolutely. Pilates mat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's just, I love the elegance of ballet. I love just creating beautiful shapes, long lines. And so I really try and bring that into my teaching. If we're going to lift our arms, I'm going to definitely make an on fifth on O, you know, something like that. Or like I speak about the elegance of the arms, how it's connected to your back, like a beautiful épaulement, whatever. Beautiful shoulders, beautiful upper body. I just think,
yeah.
why not? If you're going to train your muscles to look a certain way, why not look elegant, you know? Like,
I think everyone would like to move like a belly
dancer.
It is watching ballet. I mean, it's just beautiful. It looks beautiful. So what inspires you? I mean, I know joy is like a huge thing that you bring through into your practice and personally and also into your classes. But what inspires you the most in your work? And where do you see Pilates and barre moving in the future?
Mm. I think what inspires me right now, mm-hmm. it changes yeah, depending on what you're going through. Yeah. I think that I more and more I'm just, blown away and inspired by moms.
Yeah.
As I'm a mom.
Yeah, right.
But just the strength that it takes for people to
give birth,
first of all, which is insane. Like,
I don't know how women have more than one.
I know. I think
you're a superhero if you have more than one child. Like, seriously.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like,
yeah,
women are so strong.
Yeah,
like incredible. So when I first started teaching bar, I would specifically teach early morning classes, which I just do not. I can't imagine doing this now. I would teach like 6, 7, 8 a.m.
Wow.
classes. And I remember the classes were full of moms. And I was like, why are you here? This is so early. I would have to like drag myself out of bed to wake up to be ready to teach a class at 6 a.m. But they were there because it was their only hour of the day for them.
Yeah.
They would go work out before their kids would wake up so they could, you know, just make sure that they were feeding themselves. So I didn't understand that until now.
Yeah.
Because I do have almost 2-year-old at home, and it's really hard. Like, I haven't found how to spend time, how to find time for myself yet.
Yeah.
So I'm there. Yeah. I'm, like, struggling. I'm like, how? So when I teach, right now, the regular class that I'm teaching is Pilates Reformer for prenatal people, women, members that mix. I know every single time I walk in there, my goal is to give them like 50 minutes of just pure movement, joy, bliss for
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, their bodies are creating a human. So I just want to go and my goal, my hope is that I give them something enjoyable for their bodies.
Yeah.
So, my inspiration is just them. I mean, even if I'm just teaching a Pilates class for people who are not pregnant in general, every time I walk into the studio, my inspiration is how I can let these people leave feeling better, feeling happier, feeling hopefully more comfortable with their bodies.
Yeah. It's very similar to yoga. It's just getting people back into their bodies, appreciating their bodies and honoring their bodies.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And in order to do this, I think it really asks for a lot of reflection on the way that we teach, what we say.
Yes.
Because there's so many, and this is hard because I can go take many classes and not enjoy the way things are being taught.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a lot of, I don't like negativity, and maybe it's also because I'm into the whole like positive parenting thing, but no, it always touched me ever since university when they asked us, what's your teaching philosophy? How do you use your words to affect people in the classroom? Immediately I knew like my words are never going to be like, no, that's not good. That's not what I said. Yeah. I want you to do this. Give me that. Like when I go into a studio and I hear an instructor say, give me more of this, or I want to see this, I actually almost feel like I want to leave. Cause in my mind, I'm like, people want so much for me already. People want me to give so much already. Like, and maybe even more, I'm more sensitive cause I'm a full-time mom. Like someone always wants me. Someone always needs me. And if I go to a studio and the instructor says, give me this, I want to see this, I need this. I'm like, no. You should be like, wait, what do you need as a paying member of this club? Or so I'm very careful in the words that I say, like, and it's more like, how does this feel, or search a feeling of lightness in your shoulders, or find pleasure in the fact that you're already here, that you carved out an hour for yourself, or especially with the prenatal, like this is a moment that you're already sharing with your child. Like you're already creating a bond, like you're already moving with your baby. Like I hope that continues after birth and everything, but you've already started. Like
that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I love
it's so true as well, because I think wording is so important when you are teaching.
I think
I think sometimes you forget as well, like just sometimes for someone to show up, that's their best today.
Huge.
And as a yoga teacher, I always used to say, look, the fact that you've made it into the room, like, I have immense respect for you. Like, you're not here to please me. It's not my practice. It's your practice. Whatever you can do, whatever you can give today, you're giving for yourself. I'm just here to, like, uplift you even more and support you in what you need. But at the end of the day, some days, like, if you just want to come into the room and take Shavasana and that's what you can do, I'm cool. Like, show up and do that. Like, if that stops you from going to the bar and drinking or whatever, if that's what you need for that day, then you just do that.
I feel like I would enjoy your class then.
I don't know. I'm quite tough too.
Right, you can be tough.
I think it depends what I teach. I think I'm tough, but I'm also very much like you, like, I'm very in tune with people, so I can see when my students have been coming for a long time, when they're having a bad day and they're struggling, and I'm very much about giving someone space.
Yes.
This is place, and this is your space, and, you know, we're all different, and every day you're different, and some days you do want to be pushed, and some days you don't. But yeah, I like the philosophy of how we speak and the words and why we choose the words that we choose to use in teaching, I think is really important, because I think a lot of times, particularly new teachers, you feel like you need to fill the space with words. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's better not to talk. And I think sometimes you see the person, connection. Yeah. And sometimes that happens in silence, not when someone's like, do this, pick up that. Can you feel that? Can you feel that? Mm. And they're just like terrified. But if you give them space, often it's like, oh, yeah, like in my class, I could feel my body doing this. And it's, I really like that as well. Where do you see barre and Pilates moving in the future?
That's such a great question. Right now, if I'm honest, I feel like Pilates reformer machines that's going to continue to take off, but with a more intense, with music or more like a sort of
the like trend. A workout kind
exactly.
Of,
yeah. The trend is like more cardio Pilates or cardio reformer or like HIIT reformer, which again, I just love people moving, which is wonderful. I hope with all my heart that quality remains the same. You know, like there's so much richness in Pilates that focuses on not just the muscles that you see, but the muscles that you feel beneath the surface. So a lot of core muscles, a lot of the muscles that keep your posture, that connect your body, you know, so not necessarily the huge thing that you see, but just like your serratus, your transverse abdominals, all these really small muscles that sometimes are forgotten in big movement workouts or like big workouts, or especially when the workout is too fast or it just these details can be forgotten, which it's not a bad thing if that's not the goal, right? If like the goal is to like have fun and to move to music, like no worries. But I hope that the richness and the depth of Pilates will never be forgotten.
Yeah.
And that comes also from somebody, I've been studying it for so long. When I finally did my machine training, I guess 3 years ago now.
On the reformer.
The reformer.
Because there's a lot of components and there's a lot to learn, right?
Yeah.
About the body and then also about the machine and then the machine and the body combining together as well.
Yeah. There's a lot because also there's the reformer, but the world doesn't even realize that there's a reformer. There's a Cadillac, there's a Wonder Chair, there's an Avalon chair, there's a spine corrector. These are all the machines of Pilates. There's so many, but the reformer is the one that just, I don't know, somebody put a spotlight on it and it's like super sexy now. So my training was in all of these machines, which are so fun. Ladder barrel.
Funny because I remember when I was teaching in Bangkok, Ryan Gosling's wife, I can't remember her name. Oh, she's so gorgeous. Anyway, Eva Mendes.
Oh, Eva Mendes.
Yeah,
oh,
she used to come to my studio and she would only practice on the reformer machines.
Okay.
And her core was like amazing. And everyone like over the table was like, and all of a sudden, like that became like the hugest thing in Bangkok. Like everyone wanted to do the reformer.
Because they saw her on the reformer. I mean, they're probably right.
Well, she was a great advertisement for it.
We need ambassadors like Eva Mendes. So I hope that Pilates continues to reign as like a super cool foundation for many other workouts.
Yeah.
Especially barre. I mean, again, back to barre fitness, even though I don't teach it that much anymore. I spent many years as a master trainer in Paris. I helped open the first barre studio in Paris.
Really?
I wrote my master's thesis on barre methods in France. So I have my master's degree from Paris 8. And my subject of choice was barre and the imaginaire of danse classique. I studied, the whole point was like, how did Bach start? Why is it coming back to France just now, where France is the original,
the original home
of ballet, but not Bach. I mean, fitness has never been super big in France, so it's just now coming back. And the first bar methods and studios started opening in 2015 in Paris. So
I have this vision of like French women not wanting to sweat.
It was like, you know, so that's like, why it's perfect for them.
American and Australians were just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And French, no.
Yeah. Well,
but I think it's getting more common now because, like, you know, as an Australian, like, obviously coming to Belgium and seeing how the European people. I mean, it's different. Everyone's body is different. I've been in Asia for 10 years. How Asians move is different to how Australians move, how Belgian people move. It's just because of the culture and the environment. And obviously the weather has a huge component to it as well. So that's really interesting. But I'm really excited to see how Bach and Pilates is really being integrated into so many different modalities, also in yoga as well.
Yeah,
like yoga, Lattes, you know, doing yoga and Pilates together. I love it. And I hope there's more machines that studios with machines that open up in Belgium and Brussels, because
I think
it's great and it really engages your core. Yeah.
Like, it's a wonderful workout and it's adaptable for anyone until like the day you die. Honestly,
no excuse.
Literally it is. And I don't know if
age is not a barrier at all.
Like, do you know the history of Pilates, like how it began?
No.
So it started, Joseph Pilates, the guy who started it, he was a prisoner of war during the First World War on Ile de Man, and he started it for all the prisoners who were He started it for the prisoners whose states were slowly deteriorating because they were bedridden. And he literally took the springs out of the mattress, strapped them onto their feet and their arms, and gave them exercises to continue moving laterally. Right. And their health...
To build their muscle strength.
Yes, their health like came back.
Right.
And they were able, even if they were bedridden for months, because they were able to do the motions of walking but laterally with springs and resistance, they refound their bodies. Anyway, so the whole point,
that's incredible,
isn't that crazy? The whole point is that this exercise that is so cool, so trendy, these machines that we are like models are using, influencers are using, they started in a prisoner of war camp to help people just maintain like functional movement. Yeah, it's very cool.
You
might could go on.
You must have, like, I want to finish up, but I wanted to ask you though, like, you must have stories of like people that you've seen. I mean, I have so many stories, like teaching yoga for as long as I have, about alignment and posture and better sleep and everything. But you must see specifically in what you teach, better alignment and better core. Being able to heal a lot better from a long-term injury as well. Like, can you share like some things that you've experienced as a teacher, what you've seen?
I think the thing that is just shining in my memory right now is that when I was teaching in Paris for 5 years, I had clients who became friends, obviously, who followed my classes from bar to Pilates to fusions, and seeing their progress over anywhere from 2 to 5 years, I saw, I mean, they're all business people. So they work either on their computer all day, or they're carrying heavy sacks on one side, or they have really like physical jobs as like, I don't know, doctors or surgeons. Their posture, their overall just like movement, comfort, less back pain, just, I don't know, overall happiness. It's so general that like, if you find something that you love, a movement method or anything, a class, you plug yourself in, you go weekly, A, you're going to physically feel better. You're going to get stronger, more flexible, put balance back into your body, fix the whole thing. Like, I'm carrying my sack on my left shoulder.
Or
like,
carrying my kid on my shoulder and my arm for so many years and not realizing the damage it's been doing.
So I've just seen an overall just like joy, I guess, yeah. which is the whole like goal of people just feeling so good, plugging into a community, which is huge, yeah. meeting people, knowing yeah. they're going to see the same people every day, every week at this class.
Yeah, this is inspiring yeah. for everyone to Absolutely. See progress.
And, it's a huge part yeah. of, I think, why people go to yeah. collective classes.
And it makes sense why there's so many women in the industry, as I was saying before, like predominantly we're working with 80% of women as teachers and also as clients as yeah. well. And it's nice to, I mean, it sounds corny, but it's, for me anyway, as a yoga teacher, it's really an honor to be able to help someone be happy and healthier in their yeah. body, because it matters. Like, maybe they've had their lower back pain, or maybe they've had an injury or birth or difficult birth or something like that. And the fact yeah. that for that period of time, you can make them feel joy yeah. as like what you want to do in their yeah. body for that period of time, it stays with them.
I think so.
I think it's really valuable.
Absolutely.
Words of wisdom, Jen.
Yes.
Do you have any words of wisdom to offer?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe that wants to start Pilates or bar, and they're okay. like, okay, so what do I do first, Pilates mm-hmm. or bar? Like, where do I start?
Well, I think
your class at Mix.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
I mean, at Mix, first of all, I think it's a great place to start because we have over 250 classes a week of all levels.
You have a lot of space.
We have a lot of space. We have 8 studios with different classes. So we have everything from Pilates Reformer to yoga to sound healing to HIIT, indoor cycling, outdoor cycling, boxing. It's kind of like a smorgasbord, unlimited buffet for
yeah,
people who just want to try movement
yeah,
and
yeah.
you can't really go wrong. Plus there's an open gym. I don't know. I feel like if anyone wants to start moving, a club like this is just ideal. Plus there are 2 swimming pools and a spa.
So there's 2 swimming pools.
Yeah. If you're like, I don't even want to work out today. I'm just going to float around in the jacuzzi, for example.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to movement, Pilates is a great place to start.
Yeah.
Great
okay.
place.
Yeah.
You know, but for people who are like, oh, but it's not fun, I totally understand because I love music and movement. Then start with a bar class.
Yeah.
Right away, you'll have movement, lots yeah. of movement. You'll have music. You'll have just
slightly quiz. More intense, do you think?
It depends on what
teacher,
you're
yeah, and what
also
you're
what intense is. Some people
okay.
think Pilates, like just holding a position, is intense.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas bar, maybe there's definitely more cardio, because
yeah.
in Pilates there's not much cardio. Harder for coordination and
okay.
memory, because you're doing movements and you have uh-huh. to coordinate with the music. So really good for like proprioception and learning.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, oh, this movement feels
it's very
weird.
Good for the mind, learning something new
exactly.
every day with
yeah.
movement.
Yeah. Of course, so I suggest anyone starting with Pilates or bar. It's a great way to start moving.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your story.
No problem.
And I am excited to go and take your class now.
Yeah, I would love to have you.
I really, really want to practice. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tanya.